and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. The word of Holy Scripture upon which we meditate this morning is the Gospel lesson from the end of the 20th chapter of St. Luke and the first four verses of chapter 21. Those people who do not believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired word of God probably are not quite as able to appreciate this text as are you and I. Who else but God himself could have given us these words? Beware of the scribes who love to walk around in long robes and love salutations in the marketplace and love the seats of honor in the synagogue and the seats of honor at the banquet. That is the word of God. Who else could have talked about loving long robes and seats of honor and salutation? It is the word of God himself. It is not obviously a word that was written by the Almy Company or Concordia or wherever you happen to purchase your vestments. Several weeks ago, a representative of Almy was on the campus, and he worked frantically all day taking your orders for long robes that you are going to put in seats of honor in the chancel. Well, before you ever don those robes and step into the chancel, I beg that you appreciate these words of God and commit them to your memory. For brethren, this is indeed the word of God. And it is a word of God intended not only for the church, but especially for you and me, we who lead public worship. Now, our dear Savior does not say that long robes, such as you have purchased, are necessarily in and of themselves wrong. And he does not condemn seats in the chancel. What he does say is beware of the scribe. Beware of the person who is clothed in the long robe and sits in the chancel. He means beware of you. For the Savior does not look to externals, he looks to the heart. His omniscient eyes pierce right to your heart, and they cut through any glorious Sunday morning sartorial splendor that you might carry into pulpit or chancel. The Savior looks directly at you, at your heart, and he could care a whit less about what you bring into the chancel on Sunday morning. I suppose if there were ever a person who could have worn great long robes and had seats of honor, it is the Savior. At his first advent, he could have chosen a long robe studded with jewels, but he did not. He took the swaddling clothes of the manger. And one robe that he did own during his lifetime was gambled off as he paid the price on the cross for your sin. If ever there is a person that could have had the seat of honor, it is your Savior. He could have been born right in the very holy of holies of the temple, but he didn't take that. He took the manger. And years later, after he had paid the price of your sins and of mine, he took a seat of honor in the tomb where you and I will one day also rest. If there were ever a person who could have enjoyed externals, ever a person who could have heard the great hosannas of the entire world, it's the Savior. But those would have been hosannas that were forced by the law, hosannas that people had to render. And he didn't take that kind of adulation. Instead, the Savior took hosannas that came from the motivation of the gospel, hosannas that sprung from a heart convinced of the mercies of God. He received fewer hosannas, but they were genuine, just as the offering of this poor widow at the temple was a genuine offering of a heart motivated by the gospel. The Savior didn't look to externals, and he doesn't today either. He looks to the heart. And that's what caused the scribes and the Pharisees so much problem, you know. They were expecting an external, a nationalistic kind of Messiah. And they couldn't understand why this teacher, Jesus, was able to allow, put so much honor and praise on a poor widow who was dressed in shabby widow's dress and had only 2 copper coins. Why, if he were living up to their expectations, he would much rather have lauded praise and honor on them with their long robes, their places of honor in the chancel or in the synagogue of the day. And that's why the Savior so befuddled those scribes and Pharisees with his quotation of Psalm 110. But the Savior came not to play their ecclesiastical game. He did not want to engage in ecclesiastical showmanship. And he blows the whistle on anyone today, any modern cleric, any lay person who engages in ecclesiastical externals without having a heart open to the Savior. When you go into the chancels and when you enter the pulpit, you and I pray, will go in with the same Spirit of God, the Spirit that speaks to the hearts of sinners, even as did Jesus. He could have cared less about long flowing robes and feasts of honor. He came to serve sinners. And he came to address to sinners a good word from God, a good word that only God himself is able to provide for us in our needs and wants. I hope that you enter the chancels and the pulpits with the same spirit. You know, I was thinking as I drove to work this morning about this surplus here, this long robe which has sat in the chair of honor for 13 years now. And boy, I'll tell you, when I got this thing, I was just as pleased as punch. You all know the feeling. It was the greatest day in my life when I got my long robe and first sat in the seat of honor. And I'm not embarrassed to admit either in the 13 years since that I have often entered the chancel and the pulpit with more pride than all the Pharisees and the scribes put together. And you're going to do the same thing. Some of you already have. And I ask God to forgive me for those times I have done it. And I certainly beg you to ask God's forgiveness for the times when you take pride in the external trappings of the holy ministry. But as I've done this through the years, I've grown to love these robes more and more. And I've loved them more and more because it's gradually sinking into my thick head that worship is not me, and worship is not about long robes and the fineries of the chancel. Worship is about him who speaks the good word from God to sinners, lay sinners and clerical sinners alike. And so through the years, these robes have been privileged to be working clothes to speak that good news to the church member who is tempted to become complacent in church life, the member of the congregation who wants to rest on externals rather than on the heart that is repentant before the Savior. These robes have been able to thunder the law of God in loud and clear terms, that all your righteousness is nothing more than a filthy garment. To the sinner who has been crushed by the law, I thank God that these robes, which have so often sat in the chancel, were able to proclaim the mercies of God, mercy which announces that though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. These robes have so often held children close to them to be received into the kingdom of God. Numerous communicants have looked at these robes and especially at the cross and seen here him who is the center of our worship life. To the parents who had to bury a 5-year-old child, to the family that mourned at the sudden passing of a 39-year-old father and husband, these robes were the work clothes that bound up broken hearts with the comfort that only the Savior can give. To the young man and woman entering marriage, these robes proclaim God the Savior who entered into their hearts and into their homes. And so I've grown to love these robes, and I've grown to appreciate the fact that these are not external things. And I'm not up here to receive adulation either from family or from congregation or from a student body. But I have been privileged, undeservedly privileged in these last 13 years, to speak the good word from God to sinners who are desperately crying to hear it. And as it has been for me, so I pray it will be for you. Before you don those shiny new robes and step into pulpit or chancel, mantle, say a prayer to the Savior, Redeemer, come, I open wide my heart to thee, dear Lord, abide. Today, we license those of you who have completed successfully either homiletics or the first course in worship. We license you to go out into our dear church and under supervision to lead worship and to preach. This is not an enthronement ceremony. It is a licensing ceremony. And when you put on your robes and occupy the seat of honor in the chancels of our church, remember that you are there to speak a good word from God to the dear people of your congregation. Amen.